Friends with brews?
Peter with brews is...
A couple, yeah. I mean, I'm running again. Every now and then I bump into something.
I don't. I noticed something interesting, though, speaking of running and bumping and bruising, because my hip feels pretty good lately. I still feel my, what I think is a stress fracture in my foot, if I'm not careful. However, I am starting to believe that when I run indoors, like on a treadmill, I think that my Apple Watch is overestimating my calorie burn. And I think that when I ride my indoor bike, like I'm doing an Apple Fitness workout, I think it underestimates my calorie burn. Because if I do more of the bike and less of the run, I will, over time, lose weight easier than if I do more of the run and less of the bike. And I do think that it's tied to how much of an estimation it thinks I'm burning when I'm running. Because when I am running on a treadmill, it's going over the standard 100 calorie per mile or whatever the standard estimation is for a typical, not like a trail run, not like we're doing something abnormal, but just when you're running. It should know because it's measuring my heart. It knows my weight. It should know my exertion level. But I do think Apple Watch is over-optimistic with me running on a treadmill.
Do you factor that in when you sit down for dinner or a snack afterwards?
No, I take it at it as what it says. How?
Of course.
Well, the reason why is because A, I don't know. And B, I've only developed this view over time. Because the only difference is, do I skew more towards running or do I skew more towards biking? And during those periods of time, I can see the weight slowly, slowly. It's super slow. It takes forever.
Sure. Like
it's not a massive gain. It's not a massive loss, but there's a mm-hmm. difference for sure.
Mm-hmm. Understood. What did we decide we're talking about this time? We have like a ton of topics, but we also have those life hacks and we haven't actually dug into those yet.
We should make that an episode when we're ready to do that though.
Okay. So we're not ready to do that. That's what I'm hearing.
But we are ready to first talk about your drink because I think it's probably a lot more fun than mine.
Well, okay. Well, before we talk about my drink, I wanted to go back and talk about my a return topic about my drink warmer. And thanks to the plethora of user listener feedback that I got, I made the choice and bought a from Amazon coffee mug warmer, electric coffee warmer for desk with auto shut off, candle warmer, 3-temp ampersand 6-timer. Setting Smart C. We'll put a link in the show notes. Basically, it's a coffee mug warmer that I mentioned. And as you know, Scott, because I've messaged you about, I don't know, half a dozen times, I love this thing. It's a game changer.
Yes, you've messaged me with... Yes, it's the weirdest thing that's ever created such an enthusiastic follower.
It makes my coffee so much more enjoyable because I can come, I don't have to like chug it to enjoy a cup of hot coffee in the kitchen anymore. So anyway, so we'll put a link in the show notes in case you want to get the same one I had. It's like $20. Worth it. Worth every penny.
Question. Is there a McDonald's drive-through setting so that you can burn your mouth with your coffee?
It is. It's called 175 degrees. 175 degree coffee is way hotter than you would think. So, but tonight, new beer for a first time in a little while on
my
side.
I'm jealous of you when I saw this. In fact, I'm quite jealous of you.
Octomagang. I had this last year during Oktoberfest. It's Omagang's Oktoberfest Marzen-style lager, 5.8% by alcohol, by volume. And we'll put a link to the show notes. But first off, how does it sound?
I have to say several things about this. First of all, a brilliant name. I love the name. I love the can.
By the way, it's also part of the OMG series.
By the way, I just said OMG because I noticed Peter was just pouring straight down into that glass, into that stein. And therefore,
well,
it
whatever.
Is
70% foam. Foamy head.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Wanted a big, big, big foamy head on this one. All right, so what do we have here? Oktomagang, Prost. Join us in celebrating the world's favorite beer festival with Oktomagang, our take on the classic Marzen-style lager, pouring with a rich amber hue and topped with a foamy white cap. E.g. this one. It's a perfect brew to fill your stein, e.g. this one, and set the table for an authentic European experience. Brewed with pristine water from Omagang's aquifer, Oktomagang boasts notes of bready caramel malts balanced with hints of noble hops. Simple, clean, easy to enjoy, we invite you to savor this generous yet drinkable fall flavor. Prost.
It does look generous yet drinkable.
What are you drinking?
Well, now I have to open photos because I took a photo of it. So I would, I'm drinking the follow-up to your drink. I'm drinking Sisters Coffee Company High Desert Sunrise Light Roast. It is milk chocolate, honey, sugarcane, and lemon. It says soft acidity with a smooth body. And I'm sure I'll go with that. Yeah. It's pretty good. I actually like this. Would I normally have a light roast? No, but this is a good light roast. And it's very easy to make without any bitterness or any. And they're right. It's very little acidity. So this is a good coffee to have. And it's a little late in the day for me to be having it, but we're podcasting later than I thought. And also, I don't have any other unique, you know, beverages that I haven't had on this podcast before. So this is what we're having today.
Well, Thank you. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, buddy.
So let's just start plowing through these topics that we have, because otherwise we're never going to get through them.
No. Okay. Which of these are you most excited about?
Well, I already talked about my mug warmer.
You did.
So that one's, I was pretty excited about that. It's waning a little bit.
It has been a few minutes since you messaged me to tell me how great it was.
Hold on one second.
Huh. I wonder if I'm about to get an incoming message from Peter. No, that can't be. Hey, wow, look. There's someone else I know on my list that says this coffee cup warmer is great.
Yeah, you need to insert the message received sound there. Whoop. So, as we know, and I'm sure listeners of the show will know, Apple introduced a new firmware features for AirPods recently, which apply to AirPods Pro second generation, which I'm still rocking, because I've only had these less than a year and a half, just a little over a year, so I didn't buy the new AirPods Pros yet.
Which are also generation 2, by the way.
These are AirPods Pro second generation, but not the second generation.
Right, correct.
Mine are AirPods Pro second generation, not second generation AirPod Pro second generation.
Right, which were just introduced.
And also not these AirPods, as right, Marco Arment would say.
Yeah, these AirPods.
These AirPods.
See, that's like when Apple used to say something like the new iPad, I didn't ever take it as they were saying that was part of the name. They were just dumbly saying that, just like they were just dumbly saying these, but whatever.
Yeah.
They always take it as part of the name, and I don't know why.
But this time, I think that the dumbness is in the actual firmware. You and I have both witnessed bugs with the new firmware. Bluetooth issues, connectivity issues, and we've talked about this ad nauseum on various podcasts at this point.
Peter, we're still in the birth of Bluetooth. How could it possibly be any other way?
And to that I say, how could Apple, makers of these AirPods, possibly make something that's compatible with the iPhone made by that company known as Apple using an open standard? You know, it's amazing.
Can't be done.
But it's buggy as crap. Like, the new features are supposedly pretty cool. I enabled the nod and shake your head to answer Siri. So far, I have not yet actually been able to do it successfully. But I've noticed, like, I was at a concert last night. I saw Sting in concert at the MGM here in Boston. It was great. And I used my AirPods for hearing protection, which is officially a thing now. Like, yeah, I used to do this, but now they actually claim they can be hearing protection for you, which is great.
Yes.
But there were times where periodically during the show, it would just go quiet. And it was like, it's not doing anything for a while. And then it would just come back again. And that's happened with me. Like, I'll be outside doing yard work or something, and suddenly they just, boom, lose connection. And I'm like, what's going on? Pull out the phone, stop what I'm doing, fiddle with it, and then, bing, comes back again. Also, you know, the haptic, you touch the little button, you press the button, and, like, nothing happens. Today, for the first time, when I have all three of the noise controls as my options, you know, like when I press and hold, it's always just noise control on either left side or right side. And I had all three settings enabled. So there's, you know, mute things, pass through things, and adaptive. But it would only do mute and pass through. It wouldn't do adaptive. Even though it's like I'm opening up the settings, I'm looking in the phone in the Bluetooth settings, and it's there. It's showing both left ear and right ear. All three are selected. It should cycle through all three. It only chose to cycle through two for no apparent reason. I could choose adaptive by attaching it on the iPhone screen, thanks to the recent software update, which fixed, among other things, lack of touchscreen touchiness.
Huh. Yeah, wait a minute. You're saying that a touchscreen is an important attribute in an iPhone.
Funny that. And also it was great. Like, there was a serious security update that Apple fixed in iOS 18.01. But of course, it's like, you know, what's included in this? We fixed some problems where touchscreens might not be responsive in iPhone 16 and iPhone Pro 16, to which I messaged you and I scribbled over it, you know, iPhone Pro 14, because my 14 is doing it too.
My daughter's iPad Pro is doing something like that, but it's very extreme. Like, it will take forever to respond to her. It can take up to 10 minutes. She says 10 minutes. It's not really, probably, but it takes forever to respond. So I think she's also seeing that. So I've seen several of those things. I've had the frequent disconnects where it just goes, I'm not doing headphones anymore. I've had to reboot my iPhone several times to get it to remember how to connect to my AirPods Pro. I've had a thing. Now, here's part of my problem is my left ear seems to have changed. Because I never had problems getting AirPods Pro to fit comfortably and feel the same in both ears before. But recently, no matter what tips I put on my AirPods Pro, whether they be the Apple ones, whether they be some of the aftermarket ones, like what are the cushiony ones that you use?
Comply.
Right. Whether they be Comply, whether they be some knockoff, whether they be some hybrid silicon and foam deals, I can't get the left one to seal up very well compared to the right. And so I've noticed that problem. I've noticed that all of a sudden, like, I'll be in noise canceling mode and all of a sudden it'll just go, hey, you know what? I'm going to let all the noise through, and it'll just go into pass through mode by itself with me doing nothing. And all of a sudden all the noise is blasting through.
Mm-hmm.
Then last night, my daughter wanted to go to Weezer, which I don't know how kids know about Weezer, but they do. So we went to Weezer and I was using my AirPods Pro as my noise cancelers. I was using the Apple Tips Medium. I think I was getting a vibration in my left ear every time the drums were hit. So whenever that deep bass of the drum was hitting that AirPod Pro, I would get a vibration in it. You know, you ever hear someone crank their speakers too much and it makes a weird vibrating noise and you're just like, dude,
oh, yeah.
That's what it sounded like. And then I would reseat it in my ear and push it around and that would go away. And eventually it would come back again. So it was weirdly overcompensating, or I don't know what it was doing, but it was actually the opposite of yours. I never got it to where it would ever be quiet. In fact, at some points I wished it had cut out more noise than it was doing. So I think the difference in fit in my ears is probably the difference there. I think if I had used some foam tips that were a little bigger and a little more uncomfortable, but also cut out more noise, I think I probably would have had experience more similar to yours. But what I will say is that for me, with the Apple tips on there, with the medium ones that it says is the best size for me, not as good for noise canceling as you might think.
Hmm. Okay.
Or maybe it's just the difference between Weezer and who was your guy? Sting.
Sting. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe I don't know. I haven't used the Apple tips for some time. Every now and then I'll dig some back out and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll try these again and see how it goes.
Hey, how do the Comply hold up to workouts for you? Because for me, I feel like if I work out, if I sweat on the Comply very much, I feel like they wear out pretty fast.
I think I'm on my second pack of Complies. So I bought a bunch, you know, a few years ago, and I bought like another pack now. So I don't know exactly how long, and I can't remember how many are in a pack, but essentially, I mean, they last fairly long, and then
it depends. I think you can buy all one size. You can buy.
Yeah, I do. I buy all different, just all large, because I don't need to throw away the other two sizes that don't fit.
Correct.
So, but they generally last, like, whatever's in a pack usually lasts me at least a year.
Oh, that's pretty impressive, actually.
Well, I've only bought them twice, and I've had AirPods Pros now for like 3+ years.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean near the end of the lifespan before you got the new ones. That doesn't mean they were doing a super great job. They would erode over time, so
they do. But it's visible. You can tell when that happens, though. It's like, you know, the outer coating starts to wear off and stuff. So
right.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so there is a lot of bugs, and it's definitely worse, man. Like, I feel like I need to get the fit thing figured out, and I need to figure out which tips I'm going to wear, but I will say the noise canceling is not as good for me right now because of whatever's going on with my left ear. I don't know how my left ear could suddenly change. That's the thing that I don't understand is, like, why all of a sudden is my left ear so hard to get a proper fit for? I don't know. I don't think that my left ear is the only part of my body that's still changing. I mean, I am getting older, so parts of my body are changing for sure, but I don't think my left ear is like growing and growing and growing, and that ear hole is getting gigantic.
Massively and changing.
No AirPod can fill it, Peter.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't think we have anything to say other than we have problems. Someone help us.
There you go. Oh, man. Okay, cool. Well, that's good. Yes, we have problems. Moving on. Why don't you pick the next topic? I already picked one.
Okay. Peter?
Scott.
I would like to present to you, please click on the link there to thedrive.com. Super rare Panasonic cockpit overhead stereo appears for sale on Marketplace.
I have clicked the link, but
this
it doesn't look like
is...
it's doing anything yet.
Oh, okay.
Open link there. I had to right click and say open link. That did something.
Okay. This is an FM tuner. This is made by Panasonic. It's got a FM tuner in it. It's got an auto reverse cassette player, which they describe as saying it makes the pencil and the gear trick obsolete. It's got noise quieting circuitry. And what you do is you mount this on the roof of your car in the center console, like right above you. So it would go back from the mirror towards the back of your car. And it makes you feel like you're in a fighter jet, Peter. So
okay.
You, in your fancy, 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 fancy Kia, can pretend like you're in a fighter jet and you can listen to FM radio and cassette tape again.
Does it play anything other than the Top Gun soundtrack?
I'll be disappointed if it does. But I think it does, depending on what tape you put in there and depending on what FM station you listen to, yes. I think that it's actually functional. I think that it will play whatever radio station you select, and I think that it will play whatever tape you put in there. I think it does do that, even though it shouldn't. You're right. It should definitely only play the Top Gun soundtrack.
Now, question is, what good is this? What car can you put that in into?
You can put this in whatever car you want to make sure is the death knell for more than one date with the same person at a time.
Good to know.
Yeah, it would be best. Now, they have an example of a car that looks like it has T-tops. This would be great in a, well, it depends on the T-top, I suppose, because most of the T-tops I've seen are pretty narrow strut in between the two holes, and this thing is much wider than that. So I don't know how that would work. But if you could find a car with a T-top that you could put this thing in and mount it on that strut, that would be amazing, yeah. Because then you could, you know, big Trans Am with a screaming chicken on the hood would be best, I think.
What if you just bought an ATP chicken hat instead?
You could do that. You could do that. Different look, different vibe, different century, or at least a different decade for sure. But yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Well, I just thought that, I don't know, you've got a nice vehicle. You probably haven't done as much customization to it as you could because there's not really a lot to customize on modern cars without really messing stuff up. But this seems like an upgrade that you could probably take advantage of.
Yeah. You know what? I've been spending a lot of money this year. I'm going to have to wait for a little while.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
I wonder how
man.
Much this costs. There is Christmas coming up.
All right, I want to pivot back to it. So I was at a security conference this weekend.
Uh-oh, big mistake.
No, it wasn't a big mistake, but the big mistake was not made by me. Now, some people need to be told that they need a life coach. And I realize now that was my failing. I did not tell this guy that he needed a life coach at this conference on Saturday, and I really should have.
If you tell him that he needs a life coach, you are becoming his life coach.
Well, briefly, effectively, yes, I will say that's true. But so I was at the security conference and the speaker was speaking. And he like, you know, as he's talking, you see, I could see he just like visibly like lost his train of thought. And then he turned and, you know, he said like, oh, is there a question? And he said, okay, could you hold the questions until the end? And then he's like looking at the, you can ask. Yeah, okay. What's the question? And then from the back of the room, and I never turned to actually see the guy who was talking, but from the back of the room, we hear like muttering, mumble. He's like, I can't hear you. Right. So this guy, number one, he interrupts the speaker. Number two, we can't hear him. And then, so then they go and they bring this guy a mic, this interrupter, right? And now, so he's got the mic and he asks the question, like he couldn't even formulate his question. It was to the effect, it was like, what is the effect of this on the market? And, you know, like, and the speaker was like, I don't understand the question, you know? And the guy also asked, oh, the first question he asked was like, can you get this, right? Now, this guy's the CEO of a company that he's founded. And he's talking about how when we deploy this software, you know, in our clients, we do this and this. And it's like,
can you get this?
Yeah, dude, he's got customers. I mean, you can get them. Maybe you can't get this, but I was just like, I felt really bad for the guy when he first, you know, was talking. Like, I was like, this guy had better have an amazing question. Nope, he doesn't have an amazing question. Wait, he doesn't even know his own question. But then he came up at the end. So after the speaker was, you know, done with his presentation, he pauses for questions. The same guy comes up and again, can't ask the question. He's like, well, you said, you know, you made such and such statement. And my follow-up question is, and like, we still couldn't get it. We're like, what is he asking? And at that point, I started to lose my patience. I was just like, okay, now you're just being a jerk, dude, right? So I was like, he needs to know this, but like, I felt bad. But now in hindsight, I kind of wish that I had gotten up at the end of it and, you know, turned around and seen who was talking and then gotten over and walked to him. And it was just like, okay, dude, sorry to be so, you know, so direct here, but you need to be told, right? Hindsight. But that was just like, what's the right thing to do? Right. You know, like obviously in my humble opinion, he was doing the wrong thing. I think the speaker should have just said, please hold questions until afterwards and moved right on.
Yep.
And then when he was done, you know, like taking the questions and, you know, and probably after like struggling, because like you could feel it. I wasn't the only person in the room who was feeling like, oh God, this hurts. This is embarrassing. Right. It's just like, connect with me offline, connect with me after, right? Meet me in the back afterwards for, you know, we'll discuss this, right? You know, some kind of way to deflect this.
Meet me outside right now.
Meet me outside, right? I'll be stabbing people in the neck, like Dane Cook was saying, right? So like, I was like, wow. But it was like, everyone failed in that play. And I'm throwing myself into that group too. Like I felt like I should have said something to the guy afterwards.
I mean, it's one thing to ask a stupid question, which is fine. Everybody does it at some point in time, but you actually have to ask the question. And the fact that this guy could not ask the question, it makes me wonder, like, does he actually have some problem in communication, like a valid communication problem?
And that's quite possible. But you know what, dude, if he's going to do that, right, again, someone should explain to him, like, look, you know, maybe you need help, right? If you're going to be asking questions, ask a friend, right? Or write it down first or something, because there's a ton of other people here also whose time is valuable. And, you know, the speaker itself, that we didn't come here to hear you, right? We came to hear the speakers.
Right. If this is a person with difficulties and they're struggling to ask a question, then what they should be told is what you might want to do is just wait till the end.
Yeah.
Wait till everything's over and then, you know, figure out where your question is and go ahead and bring it up to them. But don't make a person who is speaking and has indicated that they want to hold off on questions for now. Don't make them stop. Don't keep pushing it forward.
Yep.
Now, there are people who are just that clueless and just that main character. I was telling you about a situation where I was in vendor training. We were at the vendor, and it was people from a different site of Monolith 3000, and they wanted to ask questions. The thing is, that guy just was not paying attention, and then he started asking questions about the topics that the instructor had just covered. And everyone wanted to murder that guy. It wasn't just the instructor, although he did... I could tell the instructor had been in the military or something, and he did maintain a good bit of self-control, but there were points where he wanted to kill this guy. You could tell. By the way, this guy during the time was always just talking about strip clubs and all these different other things. I mean, he was a winner.
Obviously.
But he, and then finally, we were in the lab working on the tool, trying to troubleshoot it. And, you know, these are giant pieces of test equipment. Think of an old mainframe, an old mainframe in the 60s or 70s or something, and you'll get an idea of like the size of these things. And he managed to fry, you know, serial number 001 of this semiconductor test equipment while trying to troubleshoot it. And that's when the teacher did leave and he didn't come back. Someone else came in, took over the class. I think that teacher went out and found a living creature that looked like it wasn't doing anyone any good and killed it right there. So yeah, there are some people that are just clueless and they're just gonna take up everybody's time and waste it. But your guy almost sounds like he had another problem too. Like, and I don't mean that pejoratively, by the way.
No, like, well, there was an issue, right? He couldn't make his question like known to other folks.
He couldn't even
right?
make it known to himself, apparently, because he wasn't sure what he was going to ask before he asked it. Yeah.
And again, I felt badly, you know, because I'm like, dude, this is painful. But then when he just kept on going, I was just like, okay, now I'm angry. I was like, my pity bucket is empty. Yeah. You know? I was just like,
I will say that when you've taken Peter's empathy and turned it into rage, you've done something. You've done it.
Peter's getting upset.
So can you tell us more about this conference? What was it about? Was it worth going to?
This was B-Sides Cambridge.
I've heard of B-Sides. I haven't heard of B-Sides Cambridge.
Security B-Sides. Yeah, that started about, how many years ago now? I want to say around 2010, 2012 or so. I forget exactly. But yeah, B-Sides, generally, it started as a small conference piggybacking with bigger conferences. So like if you, and they would get like a lot of the same speakers who were presenting at, say, DEF CON or RSA, and then, you know, give the same talks like for free or for nearly no money at a smaller venue or something.
Or for one warm can of beer.
I don't know that this was actually piggybacking on a different conference. I think it's spun off into its own thing. But yeah, this was B-Sides Cambridge, and it was actually in Somerville. But hey, that's okay, because Somerville's slightly closer than Cambridge for me anyway. And yeah, great little venue. I've been to a couple times, called The Armory, not terribly far from my place. Good speakers, you know, so it's some good talks on OSINT, cryptocurrency security, radio frequency hacking, using AI to automate defense against bots, things like that. So it was pretty cool.
You could hack that center console overhead cockpit stereo if you're hacking radio frequencies.
The speaker did talk about the frequencies used by airplanes. So yeah.
Yeah. So is it really an armory? Is it an actual armory or
it
is
was.
It a dive bar name? Oh, it was. Okay.
It was an actual armory. Like you go there, it looks like a fortress. it's pretty cool. All right. You pick the next topic. How about our work versus personal? The thing we were talking about. Work
yes, close. Yes, yes.
Let's
okay.
do it.
You and I, oh my God, Peter, how many tricades have we been talking about noting solutions to?
I think we probably talked about it early on. So, but then again, I was not an Evernote user until like 2007.
Oh, so relatively late in our association with each other.
Well, 3 years into it.
So again, Evernote is, how long has Evernote been around? You said, you just
2008
said 2007?
Or 2007. Yeah.
Until now, and it still lives?
Yeah.
It's like Evernote is trying to die. This is like, Evernote is like your guy at the conference who can't...
I stand corrected. Apparently, well, okay. So the first Google report result said Evernote was founded in 2000. The Wikipedia says it was founded in 2004. I first heard about it the same year I heard about Twitter, Facebook, the 4-hour work week. You know, so that was 2007, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think it was 2000 that that thing was created. I don't believe that for a minute.
Yep. So, anyway, so there we go.
Okay, so Evernote is like the guy in the conference who can't formulate a question. Evernote can't formulate either the question or the answer to what it wants to be when it grows up. And it's not growing up, by the way. It's, if anything, it's shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Jonathan Winters in Mork and Mindy. He emerged full grown and now he's going backwards. And anyway, so why are you looking at going away from Notion back to Evernote? Explain.
I'm just not finding Notion. I mean, it had so many bells and whistles that I was really, you know, drawn to it. I'm like, oh, this sounds really cool. It's a hosted solution. I like that. All kinds of integrations. That's great. I'm just not really thrilled with the basic layout and functionality of the thing. And the reason I left Evernote was because, you know, of the whole, you know, it got sold to Bending Spoons, an Italian company. I'm like, wait, who is this? And they doubled the price and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I was just like, I don't really know, you know, how safe is my data there? Notion claimed to have an Evernote importer. So I was like, great, I'll just use that. I'll move all my stuff and I'll start using the new paradigm. Well, the problem is that import from Evernote function for Notion simply has not worked for me. It can do like a few notes at a time, but it can't do the massive bulk migration I have. And I'm sorry, I don't have time to sit here and migrate all my notes individually, right? And the other thing burns me is like, I'm a paying customer for Evernote. I opened a support case for them saying, hey, I'm trying to migrate. It's not working. Never heard back from them. So right there, you've lost me.
You know? Mean a paying customer for Notion?
Notion, sorry. Well, both at the moment.
Right, but yeah. Notion is the non-responsive.
Notion is the one who's supplying the, you know, this feature. So I'm really disillusioned with Notion. It's not, you know, wonderful. I don't really see the appeal. And the thing is, like, all the data that I want out of Evernote is still in Evernote. So I need to get it out of there somewhere.
Yeah, I understand that. But when it comes to the complaints of Notion itself, I am curious as to how you're using it, because I feel like you and I must have totally different ways of how we think about the data that we're putting in places. And I guess what I'm getting at is, like, when you create a Notion note, then you can create a page. You can create other pages inside of it by doing /P and making a new page. So you can have a subtopic that's on a different page. Like, you don't want to document all your stuff in line, like a giant 3,000 long, you know, character long thing. You might have, let's say you're documenting your home automation setup.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying HomeKit. And then underneath that, you might have cameras. You might have home hubs. Those can each be their own pages. And then they'll appear as links in whatever page you're linking to them from. You can use them that way. And then the thing that I'm not sure about is, like, I have found the search to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can generally find what it is that I'm looking for in the search if I can't remember how I organized it hierarchically.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, is that a word, hierarchically or hierarchically? Anyway, whichever one. I have a system that I kind of use and it kind of works, but it's also like anything else. Anytime you have a hierarchical system and you're ordering stuff in a certain way, there are some people that are 100% consistent all the time, but those people spend 100% of the time maintaining their own system. Usually what we do is we find little inconsistencies and we go, oh, I should have put this here. Oh, I should have put that there. Oh, this would be easier if I'd organized it this way. That happens to me for sure, but it sounds like I have way less problems deciding how to organize stuff and then finding it again with Notion than you do.
Yeah, I haven't been. And you know, to your point, I think you can link from one note to another, from a note in Evernote to another note in Evernote. So you can do that, similar setup, you know, if you want to have things be quote unquote in a note.
Right. The difference is that in Notion, not only can you link to it, but immediately you can create that page right then and there.
True.
And then it will
yes.
be, and then it will be within that other page, and
yes.
then you can also link to it from other pages.
Yes, and I do use that feature, right? And like I like that. I like that structure. The problem is though, is like inevitably I'll go to say scan a document, and instead of remembering like where that document where I want it to end up. I'm like, I don't, what did I call that now? Was it under, okay, wait, was that under the real estate notion folder or was it under taxes? Because it was about real estate taxes. Where did I put it? Well, I don't really know, you know, so I'll put it in one place and turns out, oh, I should have put it in the other. And then later I can't find it. And it's not all as organized.
But for a specific scan like that, how do you title it?
Well, I generally give things a descriptive title.
Right. So,
and I
it
try to be
say,
consistent along those.
It would say property X, blah, 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 real estate, taxes,
tax,
or whatever.
Quarter two, yeah. 2024, something like that. Right.
And
so,
you still
when I go
can't
back to search for that, I can.
Okay.
But the other big feature that I still use every now and then is Evernote indexes PDFs. And
yeah,
you can search
right.
in PDFs. And that's freaking huge.
It is.
So, you know, we were talking about OneNote, for example, and although I don't think OneNote indexes PDFs, it does keep its files on the file system, and mm-hmm. Mac OS does index, can search within PDFs
Correct.
In Finder. So yeah. it's possible to sort of work around that, right? And I think Windows does that too. I think the Windows indexing service does that also.
Yeah, but then it sounds like you're... Then, boy, I don't know, allowing it to, so if you're storing it in one thing, but your files are in the file system, so therefore you're relying on the indexing of another thing, that's becoming a convoluted system.
Yes, it is, but it works. You know, if you need to search PDFs, you can actually do it, which I cannot do in Notion. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, that does matter. I mean, yeah. like I tried to... Okay, here I'm going to say something really stupid. I try to minimize how many PDFs I have in my notes. My own note-taking, my own documentation, I try to make that notes. However, mm-hmm. there are tons of PDFs that you get that are official documents that you have to scan or whatever, and those reference documents do need to be searchable. And yeah, I totally understand.
Right. The other concern I have with notes is, right, if you're using Apple Notes, then you have resigned yourself to vendor lock-in. You're in the Apple ecosystem, which is great. Sometimes, like, there's a part of me, though, even though I don't use a Windows laptop or a Windows desktop on a regular basis, and I don't use a Linux desktop on a regular basis, whatever, I really still like the idea of cross-platform compatibility and, you know, being able to use it somewhere else. But, like, I would like to have Notes be the interface that I take notes into, but I don't necessarily want all my notes stuck in Notes. And like, I have not found a good way, for instance, to either automatically or in bulk export everything out of Notes to something else. Right. So like, if I could take them and then store them in, say, Notion or something, assuming I like Notion, you know, that might be kind of cool, right? Being able to pull stuff out. And Apple is improving on the Notes app constantly. So, you know, who knows? It may be able to search, you know, to meet all my needs soon. I forget. Does it actually, you can put PDFs. Does it search PDFs in Notes now? I forget if it can do that.
I think the answer is yes. I think yeah. I've tested it and I thought the answer was yes.
Yeah, I think it does. But I don't use that feature, obviously, because I don't know that. But the thing, you know, like my current predicament is I've got still a colossal amount of data in Evernote. I have about a year's worth of data in Notion. And I've got like a smattering of, you know, data in Notes. And the thing that's interesting is that the way I use Notes, I find that Notes tends to be a write-only medium for me. I put stuff in Notes and I very, very, very rarely go back to look at what I did. It's largely just a journaling tool for me.
One question I have for you is, what I'm finding online does agree with me that you can search text within PDFs in Apple Notes, but...
I thought so.
One question I have is I don't remember with Evernote, if you do a search for something and it finds it in a PDF, does it highlight that? Because Apple Notes won't. It'll just show you the PDF that it's in and it's up to you to go into the PDF and find.
I think it did. I think it opens it up and takes you right to it. Yeah.
Yeah. See, Apple Notes won't do that. it'll show you that you have a PDF that has that in it, but it's not going to highlight that specific instance, or it's not going to highlight any instances of matches for you.
Yeah. So my concern again, you know, is like lock-in. I know with Evernote, one thing you can do is you can export everything to an ENEX file, Evernote export file, and you can import that into a bunch of things. And I did that once. There was a time about, I don't know, 5-7 years ago when I was getting all big on Microsoft stuff. And I tried, you know, migrating everything over to OneNote. And I do believe I imported everything from Evernote into OneNote. But in the end, like, I just did not like the way OneNote worked. And so I went back to Evernote.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about Apple Notes is you can export notes, but I don't think there's a bulk way to do it, which is what you were talking about. And that's where it becomes super painful, because you can export to different formats that you could easily import into other things. But if you've got 10,000 notes and you have to do them one at a time,
you're probably not going to be super pleased. Might be an option.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
I have 506 notes in iCloud right now. So there you go.
I don't even know where to export this from, because if I click on the share sheet, yeah, I don't know. There is a way. I've done it before when testing, but I don't know. I'd have to Google it.
Anyway, so I don't have a solution. Dear listener, I'm talking to you. If you have a solution, I'd love to hear it. Yeah, that's all I got.
I will say, I tried to make Obsidian fit all use cases for me before I went to Notion. And I will say, I have decided never, ever, ever, ever to make any text editor or any repository or any documentation system that puts the markdown in your face front and center. I will never do that again. I needed to not do that. It can show me stuff that looks like rich text, and I don't care if it uses markdown behind the scenes. I don't care what it does. But
you used to be a huge markdown guy too, though. Like, you were big on markdown.
No, I still like markdown, but I don't want it to be
interface.
Yeah, it shouldn't be in the way saying I'm markdown. And I have found that things like OneNote, things like Notion, other things that just use rich text or whatever are far better for just documenting stuff in, because the markdown doesn't keep getting in your way. When you click in a section, it doesn't suddenly change to markdown. Like, you try to click on a link and all of a sudden, hey, I'm a mark. Don't do that. Obsidian became absolutely useless to me because of that. And especially once I was trying to use it for documenting stuff, documenting procedures, documenting things that had code snippets, documenting things that had command line snippets. I don't want to have to do that in Markdown. I don't want to paste something in there and see all my, you know, if it's a Windows thing, I don't want to see all the slashes in my Windows path go away because it's in Markdown now and I have to escape it, and I don't want that. Mm-hmm. Just put it in there exactly like I did it. And yeah, so Obsidian, I would say, although it's got millions of devotees and they all love its many plugins that you can develop, and that is handy, it's useless for something like a documentation system, I personally believe. And I will not change my mind, so stop it. Stop it, listeners. Stop it.
Meanwhile, there are still other people who are out there like using all kinds of things like VI and Emacs built solutions for all of their
but no one, those are people that no one listens to about anything. Like, if they,
and it's probably better that way too.
Yeah, right. Those are the guys who are just like, I'm gonna use this thing no matter what, and it meets all my needs, damn it. Well, you're purposely constricting your needs so that this thing will meet all your needs. And yes, it does meet all your needs, but you're not doing anything that anyone wants to do. So congratulations.
Right. Don't make us do that.
Yes. Yeah. It's like in the old days before Linux could actually, you know, play audio, and you had to configure your sound card for 40,000 years before you could get it to work. And people were like, it meets all my needs. And you're like, are your needs really to sit around for a week and a half trying to get your sound card to work? Because those aren't my needs.
My needs are different. We have different needs.
I just want to hear some sound.
Oh, boy. I remember hacking on my Linux laptop, getting wireless to work. You know, that was right around the same time when we met 20 years ago. Like, oh, man, that hurt. It really hurt.
Yeah, I remember those. And a lot of it, it's not necessarily the fault of the Linux distro or the driver developers. It's the fault of the vendor because they won't make those capability, they won't expose those to the Linux developers. But still, it's a problem. It doesn't matter whose problem it is. It becomes my problem. I don't care if it's because of the vendor or if it's because of the Linux developers. It doesn't matter. It is now my problem when I try to use Linux.
Exactly. I was going to say, the end result is I can't do what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. You can get mad at the vendor all you want. I don't care. I'm mad at all of you.
Oh, brother.
What else?
We got a little other topics if you want to grab another one.
Is this going to be the episode where I finally come clean about what a Monolith 3000 is?
I would love it. Do you know how many? It's been like almost two decades that your listeners have been waiting for you to spill the beans.
Yes.
Well, what beans?
Well, here's the beans. On September 30th, 2024, it was the last day of mine at Monolith 3000. And as I posted on LinkedIn, after
Scott used to be a technician for Intel.
I did. After 31 years, 1 month, and 1 week at Intel Corporation, I don't know if people know, but people who pay attention to tech news might know that Intel's having some issues and they're trying to get rid of people. So they are going to lay people off, and they offered voluntary separation packages before laying people off. And if you've been there a certain amount of time, you qualify for what's called enhanced retirement, which just means you get more money to go away than people who don't qualify for enhanced retirement and are just getting the separation package. You get an extra 6 months of health benefits. You get some other stuff. You get more money that you can put towards paying for health care. You get a few different things. I qualified for that. So as far as Intel is concerned, it was time for me to retire. And I said, okay. I mean, we did lots of math. We did lots of calculations. And honestly, frankly, right now, the math is scaring me a little more than it was at the time. But anyway, we did all that and we decided, why not? Because why not? And so, yes, I don't work at Intel anymore. I worked at Intel for over 31 years and now I'm gone. So now people can know. And so here's the thing, Peter. I can't tell people what I'm doing next. I can't talk about that. So now that has to become a secret. It's not monolithic. Mm-mm. And I promise it probably won't be 31 years before I can say something about it, but it might be, or I might just die before I can talk about it. I don't know. But anyway, I am trying. I'm hoping to make a living of doing something with computers and trying and hoping to not run my family out of house and home. And yeah, I think it's a good change. I'm happy about it. There are things that I will miss about working at Intel. And I know that every time a company has problems, it's easy for us to all sit back and go, oh, what a bunch of dummies. What a bunch of morons. But the fact is, there's a lot of really smart, really capable people there. And the best thing about working there was always some of the people that I interacted with. And my last team, it only got better and better as far as my job went. The people that I personally worked with on a daily basis, it just kept getting better and better. And I really liked the team I was with, and I liked all the people that I interacted with, but the company has problems, and so I don't really miss it. I thought, you know, I'm sure that after that much time, people would think, oh, you're going to miss it, or there's going to be things that it's going to feel weird not to do anymore. Nope, it's just great. I'm just enjoying myself like crazy right now. Whether at some point I'll go, oh, crap, I really need to do something.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're getting paid and not working, it's like you're on a long vacation for right now. So it's hard not to like that.
You know, at some point I do need to start making money or it won't be quite so relaxing and carefree. But at the moment, it's pretty relaxing.
Right. Might be a not so soft landing.
Right. Even though, you know, I do have stuff I need to do and I do need to keep working, I can also do things like I'm going to do yoga right now instead of later today. And then I can work later today, stuff like that. I mean, it's just nice. It's just, I don't miss any of that stuff. I don't miss being there. I will miss some of the people and that's it. Yeah. So.
Well, if you really do, you can keep in touch with them.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. So anyway, it's kind of a big life change for me. It's definitely a big life change for my family because they're going, we still need money.
So you should refer to that as your jobby job.
Yes, that was my jobby job. But now my jobby job is gone. But now I have a new jobby job that I can't talk about. I don't know. I don't know how to...
It's confidential. It's okay. You don't have to tell everybody that you're working for the NSA. We'll figure it out.
I don't think I could work for the NSA. I would be like a test dummy.
That's great. Just lean into it.
They'd be like, pretend you're a really stupid politician and we need to hack you. Oh, we already did. Never mind. What can we have you pretend?
Oh, boy. Anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a better way to end the podcast than on that note, dude. That was great.
So ending my career also ends this podcast?
Ending your career on your ending the podcast on the end of your career.
Excellent. Peter, how can our listener end up finding us? Speaking of ending up.
Our listeners can find us at friendswithbrews.com.
Really?
They can. They can also find you at scottwilsey.com. scottwilsey.com.
Yep.
But you're also at social.lol.
Yes, social.lol. You got it right.
I know, but I don't remember what at social.lol.
I think it's just Scott Wilsey. I can't remember if there's a period in there or not.
See, that's
what
I'm saying, and you said no. I thought you were at scottwilsey@social.lol on Mastodon.
Well, if you go to friendswithbrews.com and you click the friends, it will show you that I am at scottwilsey@social.lol.
Well, good. So at scottwilsey@social.lol on Mastodon, and I am at Nicolaitis at infosec.exchange on mastodon.com.
Peter would like to exchange infosec with you, is what he's saying.
We also have Friends with Brews. Is that also on social.lol?
It is.
Account on Mastodon, so you can follow us there.
No, I'm sorry. It's not at social.lol. Now that one...
At app.net.net.net.app.net. Right. It's at app.net and just keep dot netting for as long as you want. Right?
I wish there was a dot brews. That would be cool.
We could register that and we could stand our own up.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah, because we've got money for that. We should spend that on that.
Yeah, that's the best thing. I will take all of that money that Intel gave me and I will make that my project.
Perfect. Brilliant. Could possibly go wrong.
Nothing.
Well, you should tell your friends.
Tell your friends.